Well, it's December, and I'm going to record another Mike Yams Weekly Reads. I think the last one I released was probably 3 weeks ago. And during the holidays, I get a little bit sporadic. And it's been a weird couple of months because I've had a lot of time off, which is unusual. And I don't record during those times that I'm off. In October, I was in Arizona. In November, I was back home. And then now in December, I'm going to be back home. But I haven't been able to come home early on a Friday like I usually do before Barb gets home, because she usually gets home around 6:30 or 7, and I usually get out early on Friday because I usually hit my hours pretty like early on, well, late Thursday or early Friday, and then whatever I do after that is overtime. But yeah, I haven't had that situation come to fruition, and haven't been able to sit down. And even last Friday I did have some time, but I came home and I was just exhausted. Do you ever get home from work and you're just beat and you don't like feel like doing anything but vegging? Yeah, I had no energy. I gotta get more energy as I get older. It gets harder and harder. And then I hurt my arm, which really puts a hamper on me doing comic maintenance or taking things to the storage unit and such, because I was walking Harley, and I was crossing a bridge. And I had her bag of poop I was carrying in one hand, and the other hand, if you didn't know Harley, she's about a 75 pound pit bull, Great Dane mix. So she's bigger than, a pit bull would be. She looks pit bull, but she has the length, like she's pretty long and taller than a pit bull. But she looks like a pit bull, just elongated. Except her feet, she's got the Great Dane feet. So I think her dad was a Great Dane and her mom was a pit bull. But there's a skateboard guy coming, and usually I brace when for situations like this because but I had that bag of poop, and I thought she wasn't gonna do anything. She's getting older, but this skateboarder was coming about 20 miles an hour towards us, and I had the leash like so wrapped up, but she like jolted me and it like hurt my existing. I have like tennis elbow. I've always had it, but not because I played tennis, but because of the way I played basketball. I played basketball for years. Even when I was working here, I played in like basketball leagues, a city league and another league. But the way I like snap my wrist, it like puts like this weird pressure in the tendon near my elbow, and then I also aggravated it bowling. Matter of fact, the best game I ever bowled was when I got close to a 300, and it was my last game because I said after this game, you're only as good as your last game. That my dad always would tell me. You're, even if you're like you'd lost 10 games and you won the next one, he said you're only as good as your last game. But I decided to retire from bowling because not because I had such a high score, but because my arm was starting to kill me. Like it was really hurting. But I aggravated that anyway, walking Harley. So now I have, like, I don't feel like constant pain there, but anytime I have to, like, lift anything, like a gallon of milk or anything that's about the weight of a gallon of milk, I feel pressure. And, a short box weighs more than a gallon of milk if it's all boarded and bagged and everything. So it puts pressure on that and kind of has pain on it, so it's very unusual. And then the other thing that's happened since the last episode is I find out I need another storage unit. So what I tried to do is figure out that cost and then said, I'm going to reduce my intake by that many books a month. And it had a couple of strategies. One strategy was, well, I want to still give business to Ed's Cards and Comics because I love Ed and I want to continue to get books there. So what I used to get from him is I would get cover Bs because I was getting cover As and cover Bs. Well, I figure one easy thing to cut is the cover Bs. I don't need them. Logically, I like to read the comic and it's not about the cover, and then it goes bag and board. So like if I have two of the same issue, it's just there. And even though some of those covers are just gorgeous, it was like I'm gonna stick to cover A's. So last Friday, I went to his store and I said, I'd like to switch all the books that I get from you to cover A's, which is pretty much all the Wonder Woman books, Batman and Detective. I added Amazing Spider-Man there. And all the other books, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I was getting cover A, cover B. I'm getting just cover A now. Venom, Thor, Daredevil, I was getting duplicate covers. I switched them all to cover A. So that reduces it. And on the DC side, it actually reduces it by a dollar. So, and then you reduce it by another, like, times two because I'm not getting two of them. I'm only getting one. So it was one of my strategies. The other strategy, was to take a more critical eye on. As I read the first few issues of something, be more critical about it. I seem to love everything, and I need to like compare it with everything else I've read just so I can see what I really like and really love and want to continue with in some of those other ones. Maybe just wait digitally for. The other item is Marvel is kind of giving me many excuses. And I blame Marvel because they switched to Penguin Random House, which is causing the problem. For me personally, some people are not experiencing the Penguin Random House problem, but I am because I go through DCBS, and if they get like damages, then I don't get that book. And then they have to wait to get them replenished. And ever since PRH has taken over, never had problems with Diamond and Marvel before. And then PRH, now I'm getting more and more missing books. So I started thinking, and I was like, the time I read Marvel, the majority of my Marvel is read it when I can't sleep, in the middle of the night. And I crack open my iPad and I start blasting away on various issues until I go back to sleep. And then I usually crash out on the couch first. I go up to bed, I'm sort of awake, I read like one or two comics. I crash out around 3 or 4. I either need to get up and go pee, and it wakes me up, or I have an anxiety, like nightmare attack of something that happened at work, or I get stressed, and I wake up, and then I read myself to sleep again. And I've been reading a lot of Marvels like that. And the thing about the Marvel app is, with the exception of maybe licensed properties, it has everything. So. And it, only 3 months after, and if anybody listens to this podcast, you know I don't usually read books as they come out. So it makes logical sense to like mitigate some of those new titles, with the exception of things that I want to keep getting, like a Ghost Rider book comes out, I want to get it. If there's a Captain America book, I want to get it. A Daredevil book. But some of the auxiliary titles and stuff, I could just say, well, if I want to read it, I can read it later. And another thing that was logically in the back of my head is you never know when a first appearance is going to happen. You never know what's going to be worth a lot of money, and you'll never get to have that issue unless you want to spend a lot of money. So just buy it now, get it at a discount, and then you'll have everything. But then I started to think back, what's the one thing I hate to do? I hate to sell comics. Not because I had dupes. I've done it before on eBay. I've sold dupes, or if I had many copies of something, like I had a bunch of Spawn number ones, I sold them. But I hate selling comics. Not because they're leaving me, because it's such an inconvenience. I have to post it, I have to watch it. I have to package it and try to package it well enough so it's going to get there safely. I have to take it to the post office. I fucking hate that shit. So it would be one thing if things of worth and I like to sell things and make profit out of it. It would be one to like say, "Oh, that's one thing I like, then I could keep going at the rate I'm going because I like to do it." And then when I retire, I like to do it. But I hate that shit. I mean, yes, I'm going to have to eventually do it, but I don't even like it. So, yeah, that weighed on me a little bit. The DC is a little harder. It's like a psychological thing. There's other companies like Dynamite Psychological. But I'm just looking at small things. So reduce Marvel intake. Be more critical on number ones. Like, I don't need every Image number one. I could, like, read the synopsis and say, oh, is that something I think I'm going to enjoy? Or I look at the creator. Is that a creator I like all the time? And look at it with a more critical eye and then say, well, you know what? They have all the Star Treks on Comixology eventually. I'll just read it there. You know, call it Comixology Unlimited. Yes, I have that. And I think we'll talk about that later because I read a lot of Comixology Unlimited when I was in Arizona, and we're hitting that week in October. So, sorry, I had to take a swig of my Dr. Pepper Zero. So I've been looking at anything, and then I also look at collected editions and say, I just get discouraged with collected editions. For one thing, I love the packaging. I love the presentation of Omnibuy. I love things like completing epic collections and stuff like that. I love having a run of trades on there. But then I get really discouraged when I go into the room of my trades and I can't even walk in it, you know? So that's gonna save me a lot of money right there, is collected editions. And if I want to revisit again, most of the stuff I get in collected editions is available digitally. Not even don't even have to pay for it. I either go on the DC Infinite app and start reading it, or I go on to the Marvel app. Or if you're lucky, it might be on Comixology Unlimited. You never know what you're going to get there. They seem to have people that know what's hot. Like if a movie, Eternals, is coming out, well, they know to post that. If Lock and Key's out there, they'll post like the Lock and Keys. They had every G.I. Joe, a Real American Hero volume. So it's not because I want to stop intaking so much. It just, I start looking at the things as I get older. And then the long boxes and this injury, I'm old now. When I was young, I used to be able to just move box after box after box. Now it's excruciating on my knees, going up and down the stairs, not being able to hold the rail, carrying a box. And I don't want to die carrying a box up and down a flight of stairs. So, yeah, there's that coming to reality. A couple years ago, I said, fuck these long boxes, which was a smart move, and put everything in a short box. But even those short drawer boxes, they get heavy with a half back and a Mylar bag in there, and, you know, from front to back. Because you have the box and then you have the container around it because they're drawer boxes. But yeah, it's all these different factors. So even like this last order was really hard, and man, I had to really cut the cord on the Epic Collections, and I still get it. My strategy on the Epic Collections is get what I really want, but don't get what I don't think is totally necessary. I used to be a completist, have all the Epic Collections. Well, within this latest order, the two that I decided to pull out of the four was Conan the Barbarian, latest volume. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I already have Conan, and the other reason is I want to complete that singles collection, which I've been working towards, and I'm very close. Also because I'm getting it an omnibuy, and they have the latest omnibuy issue of Conan and the latest King Conan omnibuy at the same month. They're killing me. So I was like, okay, I don't need the Epic Collections. I'm going to keep it in the format of the omnibuy. And then I looked at Carnage, and I was like, well, most of this stuff I can read in another collection that I already have or online. So I was like, okay, I'll cut that one. But I continued with the Avengers and Thor, or maybe it's an X-Men and Thor Epic. The ones that were really tough was the Question has a beautiful omnibuy containing like 1 through 20 plus a bunch of tie-ins. And I imagine the next volume will have like the rest of the series plus Question Quarterly. But I was like, I have all of these issues, so I could dig for them, or I can read them all on the app, which is probably like the likely candidate for ease of use if I'm trying to say, oh, I want to read this issue of Question. And then the other tough one was the Legion of Superheroes, 5 years later, volume two. But I was like, I haven't even read volume one yet. So I'm starting to look overwhelmed. I'm starting to look at my timeline on this planet Earth and say, God dang, can I read that all? Even when I get retired, let's say if I retire early, that's still an awful lot of material to just absorb. So yeah, there's a lot of things that I had a hard time, but I knew I needed to bring those costs down, and before I wouldn't worry about it. I just get what I want. Now I'm looking at it with a critical eye to say, oh, I have that extra storage unit I have to pay for. I can't go above it. And plus I'd like to start reducing some of the intake, increasing my reading, decreasing my maintenance, decreasing my lifting of boxes. Filling a short box every week is a little ridiculous. And then I get to this show and I actually go over what I read and I'm like, you pathetic wimp. You had you didn't read that much in the grand scope of things. So yeah, I like speculation and having all this worth and stuff, but then I'm like, yes, I'm gonna part with this and sell it at some point, but you hate selling shit. And then you always have to worry about, well, is that gonna get there on time for the person who's buying it? Is it going to be in the same condition that I mailed it out? And is he gonna bitch? I don't like that. I don't even know how people like it, but I guess if you like selling things, that's a good trait to have, especially when you want to reduce your intake as you get older, because you can't walk as far up and down flight of stairs. You want to probably reduce into a smaller house where you can get it from room to room. Strategize with, well, I might need a walker at some point. I might need those handlebars on the shower so I could hold on to all kinds of different shit. But Yeah, that's been what's been going through my mind a lot. A lot of thinking, a lot of anxiety, especially when placing my order now, because I know, like, I even went a little over what I wanted to go over, because I was on this wicked downward trend on the last couple orders. And this order, I treated myself to because of those two Conan guys. If they were anything else, I might have double thought it. But my strategy with Conan is Marvel does not own the license, like Godzilla or any of the other some of the licensed properties. So if you care about this property and you want it in this format, you better jump on it because you might not be able to go on the app and get Conan. Whereas the opposite strategy is like Star Wars. I could go Disney own Marvel owns DC, DC owns Marvel, whatever you want to say. Disney anyway, DC Disney owns Marvel. They can put out Star Wars on the app. So yeah, it's just a lot of things. Not because I want to. I love comics. Not that I'm losing, like some you'll see other podcasters that reduce stuff, saying they're losing their interest or losing their passion. I haven't lost any of that. I'm still very passionate. I still love all my comics. I just am starting to realize that I'm becoming an old man, and lifting boxes is dangerous. Things like that, it just I'm getting older. There's a realization of that. If I was going to be young forever, I'd keep continue doing exactly what I'm doing. Like if I knew, if I could snapshot myself now, even though I'm not in the best shape, and know that I'm going to be in that shape 20 years from now or 40 years from now, I'd keep going. But there's been a decline in performance over the last couple of years. All those injuries are starting to mount, and you don't heal as fast. And some of those injuries, like it rains, and you're like, God, why does my fucking shoulder hurt? All those sports injuries that I had starting to creep up. But, Rob was just texting me about Comic Base. I just renewed it for 2022. I haven't installed the new 2022 yet. I usually wait until I can see if they're gonna get a patch or if there's a major bug. 'Cause I don't like dealing with bugs, let them flesh it out. I usually update when the weekly updates stop happening. Is when I know I need to update the actual app. And it'll actually tell you at that point. It's like you go to do an update and it'll say, oh, download the latest version. Like it forces you. And that's the time when I usually do it. I don't do anything early. I don't want to be a beta tester. Bob Breitel actually quit them because they put in a bug, which sort of like lost his tracking capability. He uses like a custom feature where, because he has the Guinness Book of World Records, where it would tell him the way he puts. I admire the way he files things because I haven't gotten to this discipline yet, and psychologically I want to merge all my titles together, but it's not feasible. What is feasible, though, for a large collection is as you read the books, well, actually, if you just file them as you get them into a box, you label that box like box X or whatever you want to call it, XX or XXX in the case of me, three X's. But you label that box whatever, and then you put that in the database and associate all the titles that you put in that box with box XXX. So when you run a query, you could say, I want all the comic books that are in box XXX. Or I can query Thor number 22, and it'll say, oh, Thor number 22 is in box XXX. So I know where to go get it. But I haven't been that disciplined enough to sit down and write down everything that's in that box and then put that extra entry in the database. What I like to do is use the scanner and just bar scan the code in, bleep, 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 and then call it done. It's all in my database. This would require some more manual work because I have to go to each one, maybe not even use the scanner. Say quantity one, scroll over to the right, box 22, something like that. But his bug last, which I since think they fixed, but they fixed it too late and they did it inappropriate and made it think like it was his problem. But what they don't know is that Bob is a software engineer just like myself, so we're not stupid when it comes to databases and how they work. So they lost him because they would not provide support that he wanted. And for him, it was more important because he's got the Guinness Book of World Records. He's worried that he lost all of that tracking data. You have to submit detailed reports and you have audits and you have to be able to support those audits. And now all of a sudden your database is not showing accurate information, then your credibility is gone. So that's something that I'll never do, even if I surpass Bob Breetall at some point in time. It's just not worth it for me. That's too much work. I'll be happy if one time I retire and I have all my boxes merged and I know exactly what box they're in. But I know where things are in terms of stacks, but then I have to go through those stacks to sort of find what I have. In other words, groupings in locations, but sometimes it takes me like four drawer pulls to find a book. But yeah, I talked a lot. I recently purchased quite a few books from Aaron Myers. I posted them on Twitter, but I'm not going to go through them here because I had already filed them. I have actually had the kitchen table free of books. We actually could see the kitchen table. But now I just got a DCBS order, which I need to catalog, and it's got two stacks of comics on the table. Plus, off to the right of the chair, I had to get another magazine, a drawer box. And then I got a new Kickstarter come in from Spicy Pulp Comics. That's the other thing I did to reduce is I'm being very picky now with like new titles that come on Kickstarter. Like I am just not doing as much. I was going pretty hot and heavy on Kickstarter. Now I'm a little more critical. I'm tending to not get newer stuff, but finish the older series that are going on, unless it's like Justin Gray or some of those Palmiotti books that I always go through, and I'm kind of like not doing it. That's an expensive hobby, kickstarting. But yeah, so there's a lot of interesting things I'm doing right now. Hopefully this one will last. You've heard me do this shit before, and then the compulsion comes over. But in this time, I'm doing it for physical reasons as well as some financial reasons. If you have to pay for extra, well, then you should reduce for extra. So it all balances out. But that is what's happening. And I'm gonna go ahead and go into the weekly reads, which I didn't read a lot. So I will start with books that I read from October 4th to October 10th of 2021. And Let's talk about what I watched. I haven't been really good about recording what I watched lately, but I gotta get back on it. But I was really good at it at one time. During this time in October, I was trying to intake. I used to do this like I don't know, 15 years ago, is during Halloween month, try to intake as many horror movies as I possibly could. And most of these I did on my own while on the elliptical. I went into movie mode instead of watch this season of something or another. And I went into the horror genre. And the next few that I read, two of them were the Amazon direct to Amazon Prime. What are those movies called? Blumhouse films. So every year, oh, well, the last 2 years, Amazon has released 4 to 5 movies that are direct to Amazon that are from the Blumhouse franchise. Blumhouse is notorious for making very successful horror movies and decent budgets and turn a profit. I watched a few of these. Blackest Night was about a African American teenager that has a loving father, but the mother's a drug addict. It happened during the Katrina wave. And the mother's sort of separated and heartbreakingly lives in this hotel and still a drug addict. But she tries to love her daughter and her daughter tries to return that love. But it's in this rundown building and what's happening, and this is like in New Orleans, it's a vampire thing. So what this movie's sort of about is like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Where this girl is thrown into a situation where she has to hunt vampires, and the vampires were the cause of her mother's death, so she's got a reason to go after vampires. I give that a 4 out of 5. The next one was a little slightly better of it, in a campy way, but very entertaining. This is like one of those VHSs like Mother's Day that I rented back in the day when VHS places were hot. Used to go there, go to the video store, find out these horror movies that never were released to the theaters and watch them on VHS. Well, Bingo Hell is a campy movie about a town that is sort of looking to be bring in the younger people and let the older people sell their properties and move out, kind of thing. Make it a cleaner place instead of the way it was. But a lot of these people don't want to leave their homes, and they're an older community. A lot of the other part friends of theirs have left in search of finding a better place to live. And they play bingo to it. There's a group of six or seven of them that get every night, and they're very proud citizens of their community, and they get along and argue and all that stuff, and they play bingo. Well, somebody, a demon, comes into town and buys the bingo parlor, and what he does is he takes their souls and he gives them a boatload of cash. It's not really cash, but it looks like cash, and they end up dying from insanity. And usually, a green slime shows up after that. And this is about a Hispanic Latina older lady that teams up with some of her friends to take down this demon. And that demon took over the bingo parlor, and that's how he consumes souls. But that's Bingo Hell. That was on Amazon Prime. The next one I think was on Amazon Prime. It was either Hulu or Amazon Prime. It's called Devil's Island. And this was a very unusual movie, but I liked it the most. I liked it because it was so unique. But it opens up with a murder of two older folks on this. I don't know where it was in the United States, but there's these like, wherever they live, there's like little individual islands. And these people like lived on the islands, and then you'd have to get on a boat to drive to go to in town to get your groceries or boat over to your neighbors or whatever you needed to do, but it would be via boat. And this, she was on like this island stretch, this family, and they were murdered there. And it never said how they were murdered or what, but you suspect something. It shows one of the cops investigating and finding out there's a murder. And the daughter and the father of those grandparents, they inherit the land. And the daughter used to live in Las Vegas, Nevada. She looks like she's looking for a change. Her father doesn't want to go out there, so she says, I'm going to go out there and live. She's probably early 20s, gets out there, and the community doesn't want her there. But she's like, I'm a, and she's worse yet, she's a vegan, and they don't like the fact that she's a vegan and is always looking for fresh vegetables and doesn't eat meat. But the town is really rude to her and mean to her, and, there's like this cult on this island, and there's some really creepy scenes. Like one time she sees movement outside, or there's a guy on a boat flashing a light, and she go runs outside, and then you'll get like she's outside, but you see very blurry in the faraway house, like her inside, that there's somebody inside her house. But this whole, and the ending to this, I don't want to give it away, but it ends on a weird fucking ending. And I've always appreciated endings that you don't really have a conclusion. Like you don't really find out if the good guys really won. You just, it's just there. And they had the balls to make this just there. And I read a lot of critiques about it and people shat on it, but I really liked it for what it was. I thought it was very unique. I gave all those movies a 4 out of 5, but I liked them in the order that I discussed. Devil's Island was my favorite. Now we'll get to the comics. There were only 14 read. Tomorrow's Magazine, I read a few articles from there. I'm not going to track that anymore because I'm doing that as a for two reasons. I have a lot of fanzines, and I don't have a lot of time to read the articles, and I haven't been. And by putting another segment in Geek Brunch, it gives me the excuse to explore those fanzines, which I'm really happy to do. And I read a lot in this one particular Tomorrow's, and I still have more articles. And the fun thing is, it spawns me off on these journeys, and I will talk briefly about some of these journeys, and you'll see the trends of the journeys that I take. As we go through these episodes, because you'll say, oh, what's he doing? Oh, now I know what he's doing. He read an article about Deathlok and he's going down the Deathlok thing. And that leads me down another tangent. I'll read another article and then go from there. So that segment, I don't know if Bill is real happy with that segment, but I love that segment because I'm a huge fan of fanzines. I feel like I learn a lot from it. They're really well put together articles in a lot of fanzines. And it really sends me down a rabbit hole. And sometimes those rabbit holes lead to other rabbit holes. And sometimes you're fortunate enough where you can follow the entire rabbit hole. And what I mean is, if you're reading Deathlok and there's a little star that says, oh, this happened in Marvel 2-in-1. Well, then you can follow that Marvel 2-in-1 path. But one Tomorrows, one IDW, three DC, four Dark Horse, three Boom, one Amazon, one Antarctica. So that's a total of 14. We'll start with the bottom. We got Save Yourself. That was from Boom, is a 3 out of 5. And this is a young woman lost her brother and does not like to leave the house. She's, an introvert. Could be because she's emotionally, this happened. Maybe she wasn't always an introvert. You don't know that. Maybe she always was. But she barely has enough energy to go to work. But she's called into work and runs into a character from her video game. And that character actually saves her. Her cohorts of that woman that saves her are invading Earth, and she betrayed her friends, and she's the only character to help this teenage girl try to defeat these other Amazon type women, which they're alien though. They actually like look like women, but they turn into like animal type things. But our young main character is along for the ride, trying to help her friend stop this invasion. Those aliens, though, they manifested themselves as characters of a popular video game. So I read issues 1 and 2 of that. That's from Boom Studios. I read Valkyrie Saviors. I wasn't expecting a lot of this, but I do like bad girl type comics. This looked like it would feed. It's from Antarctic Press. It's Valkyries are battling, and one of them is saved by an overworking woman that is not surprised she ran into a Valkyrie, which was very weird. You'd think a normal woman running into a Valkyrie. And this woman works like 4 or 5 jobs. She's probably in her early 20s, but she's working so many jobs, she's not in a relationship. She's gorgeous, but she saves a Valkyrie. The Greek and Norse gods are in a war, and it looks like the girl is going to become a Valkyrie. Like, she's saved a Valkyrie, and that Valkyrie is going to bestow the power of the Valkyrie to her. I have in future issues read the next 2 issues, which complete this series, and it really didn't go anywhere. But we'll leave that for future. I gave it a 3 out of 5. With my critical eye, both of these probably wouldn't have made, a continue with. But when I read them, I already had those in. But now we get to the 4 out of 5s. So we have Action Comics 429 through 431. John is worried about his dad because he knows about the future, and they are fighting off an alien attack, which he believes his father will go missing because of this alien attack. I will say that Dan DiDio had this 5G thing, the fifth generation thing. And a lot of people panned it, and then DC said, we're not going to do the 5G thing. I really think that's what's going on with Superman is still the 5G plan. I think of what's happening in Wonder Woman is still the 5G plan. It just doesn't have the branding. I think what's going on with Aquaman is still the 5G plan because we have the new, Jackson is the new Wolverine, Wolverine, Aquaman. John is the new Superman. We have some of the new Batmans, but they're in different books, so maybe Batman didn't manifest itself. We have Wonder Girl and Nubia, so that could have been the route of 5G. So we're probably seeing some of the ramifications of that. But anyway, he's worried about his father. Warworld ships, which was also part of Future State, are chasing some people to Earth where Superman and John help out. Batman's analyzing Superman losing his powers and thinks John should take his place in the Justice League. Lois does not seem to be worried after everything that's happened to them in their lifetime. You'd think she'd be worried, her husband's losing his powers, her son is going to be the new Superman. But she doesn't seem to bat. And then there's the backup Midnighters working to stop a computer in his head in an alternate timeline. It turns out that the future Midnighter is on Earth as Midnighter and is trying to stop the guy that helped create the chip in his brain that sort of helps him predict the moves and stuff of his opponents and weaknesses. And he does not confide in Apollo, and this will play out in the Superman and Authority and other stuff, which you'll talk about in future episodes, which I've already read that stuff. We Have Demons is the Amazon book. It's about a minister that raises his daughter. She leaves and wants nothing to do with him. He dies, and she finds out he was a lead in demon hunting. He was a leader in demon hunting, and now she might have to fulfill that role. This is a Scott Snyder and Capullo joint for Amazon Comixology Unlimited. I think that I call it Amazon is the book, but it's digital only right now. But the way most of these things are panning out and starting to is that I think it's up to the author to decide where they want to eventually go. But Amazon did make an agreement with Dark Horse to start publishing their Comixology Unlimiteds as direct-to-trade offerings. So if you're a paper guy and we have Demons, it's probably either going to end up at Dark Horse or Image or something. I think the agreement with Dark Horse is you can take that option or you can take it elsewhere because you own the property. We have Clans of Beleri. That is a Boom book. This is a sci-fi thing. It's a space opera where people born into a caste system and must do their roles and cannot collaborate with the other clans. It focuses on a pilot who is delivering a clan when the ship has issues and they crash, and a young girl and one of the pilots are the only survivors. He raises her as part of his caste, late so sort of hides her. And then later in life, she talks to another clan and causes an issue with the law enforcers, and the pilot kills those two law enforcers to protect his sort of adopted daughter. It was really interesting. This is from Aftershock. I don't think I counted it as an Aftershock. What I need to do is subtract the. Well, I need to add that. I never did. So Aftershock 1. So I get to add. I read 15 books. Oh my God. Instead of like 60 is where I should be. But we have The Secret Land. This was Dark Horse. This was really good. This is two lovers are separated during World War II. The woman becomes a spy and infiltrates the Nazis. The man is a frogman. He is told she dies, so he becomes, pretty suicidal. He's not happy because that was the love of his life, but survives like an invasion where he's one of the only survivors. But she did not die and gets the message out to the Allies. Now they have to stop the Nazis and their secret power source in Antarctica. We then get into Alter Ego. This was about Man-Thing. And it talks about it was George Currie interviewing Roy Thomas. They talk about a creation which Stan Lee was saying, we need a Swamp Thing character to Roy Thomas. Roy immediately thought, like the Heap, but he did not tell Stan because he thought he was being original. Stan wanted to name that creature Man-Thing, and Roy did not like it because it was too close to the Thing. But we know where that turned out. Listen to Stan. Man-Thing's a pretty cool name, actually. He came up with the story and gave it to Jerry Conway and Gary Morrow to debut that in Savage Tales. The first issue of the anthology had issues, and Goodman never wanted a non-coded magazine to come out, so it was canceled due to complications. So only one issue came out of this book. The fact that it had low sales and could not sell to Canada were some of it was reasons why it was canceled. At one point, they had a bunch of them in the offices and were told to take as many copies as they want. So they were in the offices of Marvel. They didn't sell. Take them. Roy Thomas took a bunch of them and helped. They later helped pay for his move to Los Angeles. So smart on Roy Thomas's part. I found that very interesting. There was an interesting tidbit about Jerry Conway being roommates with Len Wein, who created Swamp Thing. So you have these situations like, oh, you have a Comet movie coming out, and you have Armageddon, and you have the other one come out at the exact same time. Well, they were roommates, and we had Man-Thing and Swamp-Thing come out like a similar time. Very similar stories, and Marvel thought they should sue, but never pursued it. Man-Thing was given to Gerber, who wrote to adapt Theodore Sturgeon's It in Supernatural Thrillers number 1. That was adapted by Roy Thomas and drawn by Marie Severin. They brought the license for a measly $150 for that character, It. And the Sturgeon asked him to send the check immediately so he could pay his alimony. So they sold it for dirt cheap because he wanted to make an alimony payment. I found that fascinating as well. And this is something that Roy Thomas was embarrassed to offer. He thought that he'd get turned down by this guy who wrote a novel like that. But instead, that guy turned around and said, "You know what? I will sell it to you so you could do a comic book adaptation, because I could use that money right now to pay my alimony payments." Roy talked about Marvel not succeeding with anthologies like DC, but they had their success writing monthly monster comics. And what he's talking about is DC had House of Mystery, Ghosts, House of Secrets, Witching Hour, and those were anthologies that were very successful. Marvel tried it, they weren't successful, but they were successful is doing ongoings of monsters like Tomb of Dracula, Werewolf by Night, Frankenstein the Monster, Ghost Rider, things like that. So they succeeded where DC was more successful in the anthology horror. The first swamp creature came out of Incredible Hulk, and Roy wanted it to be called the Shape. Stan hated that name and wanted the Glob. So in a caption, Roy had name question mark. This is a quote, by the way. Name question mark. This came from the comic. This was a caption. "It has no name, nor need for any. But if that name it mu you must, then call it Shape, or Heap, or Mass, or Glob!" Exclamation point. So he got his little 2 cents in there with Shape because he wanted that, and then threw in the Heap because he's sarcastically thinking, we're not the first ones to create a swamp monster, but we'll throw in the last one will be what Stan wants to name it, Glob. There talk about old Heap comics and Airboy that later went to Skywald, which I didn't even know about. As they were forming, Roy Thomas went to dinner with the guy of Skywald and said, "We want to create some comics." And he goes, "I can't work there. I got my hands full at Marvel. But if you want to take some, why don't you take the Heap?" He mentioned Man-Thing in the Heap, so they took the Heap and put it in Psycho Magazine, number 2 of 1971. So if you're like me, and you enjoyed what I just read to you, that's what Back Issue Magazine has. Little tid things, little sides. You get a feeling for these neat things. You might go off on a tangent, like I put in my want list some issues of Psycho. I don't own any Skywald magazines. Made me want to go down that path. So that was a lot of fun. The 5 out of 5s were Bermuda from IDW. Did I get credit for that? Yep, I did. I haven't read any subsequent issues, but I have them next to my couch. A rich brother and sister crash land on an island with strange creatures and people. So you got like a Tarzan theme with like Lost and Treasure Island. The boy is saved by Bermuda, and that teams up. That's the girl that saves him and teams up with the scientist. His sister is captured by mermen who want to make her a slave. The father and the military, who know his son and daughter are on the island, are trying to open up the portal to this strange island in the Bermuda Triangle so he can rescue his son and daughter. Really enjoyed that one. That was from IDW Comics. The next 5 out of 5 was Gru Meets Tarzan. I can't speak higher of a book that I've read this year. There's some that I have read that were better than this, but this one was just brought me so much joy, and I have finished it. But Gru goes through two villages looking for more cheese. I don't know if this theme it gets old after a while. But I haven't read a lot of Gru, but I'm aware of a few issues I've read of Gru and his obsession with cheese. And he eats a lot of shit. Like yak fur is soaked in dung water and all kinds of weird shit. But Tarzan is trying to stop slavers. Mark and Sergio, the third part of the story is they draw themselves. Mark and Sergio are at San Diego Comic-Con, and they're going to run down to an animal park like Lion Country Safari. If you know that you were near that area, when I was a kid, there used to be a park called Lion Country Safari where you'd take your car in and you'd have to roll up your windows, but you could go drive through it and you'd see like lions, giraffes, and all kinds of stuff. But they go to that park to do research so they can create the comic book of Gru Meets Tarzan. So it's like a comic book about what's actually happening. It's weird, but it's so much fun. But they go to that park to do research for the Tarzan comic. So then the next 5 out of 5 is Lucky Devil. A man is down on his luck and having problems at his work, and his wife is cheating on him. He then gets possessed by a demon, and things change. Later, he exercises what I mean by not like exercise, but get rid of the demon, exercise, like exorcist, exercise the demon, and when he does that, he keeps the powers. So it's very unusual. Now he doesn't have the demon controlling him, but now he's in control, but he has the powers of the demon. That was from Dark Horse. That was very entertaining. So the top books that week were Lucky Devil #1, Gru Meets Tarzan, and Bermuda. That takes us down to the week of October 11th through October 17th, 2021. There were only 14 books read that week, but let's talk about the movies. I watched a ton of shit. I started watching the Day of the Dead TV show, which is on Sci-Fi. I started watching Chucky TV show, which was on USA Network. I finished both of them. I think I have one more episode of the Day of the Dead TV show. I watched another Day of the Dead TV show. It is about the George Romero Day of the Dead movie. Matter of fact, one of the characters eventually becomes Bub. So if you've watched Day of the Dead, you kind of get what I'm coming from. Chucky continues in all of its glory. With all of the continuity of the previous movies in this TV show. In this TV show, he's just as foul-mouthed as he was, and it's just as bloody. We have a story called Manor. This was a Blumhouse Amazon Prime movie. This one was kind of cool. Really, all of this stuff was 4 out of 5, by the way. Manor is about a woman that lives with her daughter and son, grandson, and she's real attached to her grandson. Her grandson's really attached to her, and they're at a birthday party, and she starts have a stroke, and she starts worrying about like her situation, healthy, that her daughter and grandson can't take care of her, so she needs to find a way to get into a home. So she checks herself into an old home. She meets some friends there, people start dying, and you don't know what's going on. But the friends she meets, they're sort of like, I'm trying to think of the people that worship the tree. A cult of, I can't think of the term. My younger me would be able to recall the cults that do that, but she notices that, and she's like, "I need to get out of here." Well, the daughter, nobody, they believe she's going senile, even the grandson. But then she finally convinces the grandson that this shit's really happening. The grandson tries to rescue her. They're having a séance where they're absorbing another client. What essentially they're killing off other old people so they can stay young, and one of the kids finds out about it because he goes to find the picture that was done, it's like at a bar, and it was taken like 30 years ago, and these people haven't aged, and he's like, "What the fuck is going on?" But eventually, what happens is a very shocking ending. I don't want to say what it is, but we'll leave it at that. There's an ending I wasn't thrilled about because it didn't end the way I'd want to, because I liked the two characters, but it has a unique ending that I think I'll give them credit for that. They didn't go down what the way I wanted it to go down, which is a good thing. If you don't get what you want, then if you can predict some movie, then it's not that great, really. But if you can't, it should be, props. So that was Manor. Halloween Kills is another Michael Myers, my namesake. This takes place from the last Halloween, where you think that Jamie Lee Curtis's character Laura and her daughter and her granddaughter have taken him out. Well, that continues from that point, and they haven't. And it has a whole town going after to try to lynch Michael Myers. Stars Michael Anthony Hall as well. But very entertaining. Saw that at the theater. If you had a certain version of NBC Peacock, I think you could actually stream it at the time that it was released. But we saw it at the theater. Really good movie. The next one is an Amazon Prime Blumhouse. It was the fourth one, called Madres. This was my favorite over all of them. And what made it my favorite was the absolute ending when the credits rolled. I'm like, holy shit, I can't believe that this has been derived from a true story. Like, the supernatural part is not true, but the premise of this story is a Mexican man moves with his American Latina wife to a small town that's mostly farmland to take over as the supervisor for this farm. And they're going to get there and they're going to want to have a child. She's pregnant. She actually, her work let her go because they didn't think she could do her work while she was pregnant. And the husband was going to start making a lot of money. So they thought, oh, this will work out. But what they find there is that there are no children. There's like one kid in this entire town. They're, what the fuck is going on? Well, I don't want to give away the spoiler, but it has to do with there are no children being born on this farm, and that sort of leads to the true story that actually happened. And if you watch those credits at the end, you're like, yeah, that is fucking terrifying. That's absolutely fucking terrifying that this would even be made into a movie. to make people realize that this shit, some of this shit, actually happened. But the next movie was Wolf Creek 2. Liked it the most of the bunch. This is about the Australian guy that hunts down vacationers on the Australian outback and murders them. And you get introduced to all these characters. And the one thing that's amazing is none of those characters survive, but it leads to rabbit trails with other characters that he hunts. And it led me to finding out that there is a Wolf Creek TV show, but I haven't been able to find out where it's streaming without buying it. We do have AMC Plus now. I just have no mechanism to watch it on TV here because I don't have a Fire Stick. I have Chromecast, and it's not Chromecast supported, which kind of sucks. But yeah, we'll see. Over the holidays, when the soap operas and shit are playing, I might be watching some Shudder and seeing what's going on. There was like a special stream thing that Barb bought. She wanted to take advantage of it because it was AMC and stuff, and it was only $1.99, and she didn't know at the time that we couldn't stream it. But since then, we've got a Fire Stick. We had one, we just never used it. Now it's an excuse to try it, see if it works, and then we'll be able to hook up to that on the TV or buy a new TV because our TV is really old. It's a smart TV, but it really is not compared to what's smart now. This must be 12, 13, 14 years old. I don't know. It's kind of old. But that takes us into the comics. I read my first Infinite comic. It was Venom Infinite. It's a vertically drawn comic of Venom going after Carnage on the Marvel Unlimited app. I really didn't like the format. I probably will not be trying any more of these Infinite apps. They seem to be somewhat popular because there's a shit ton of them. They're meant to be vertical scroll because on a phone you can vertically scroll. And you don't have to worry about panel by panel, but I didn't. I'm old school. I didn't enjoy the experience that much, but I still gave it a 3 out of 5. I was, somewhat entertained. We then get into Action Comics, 1032 through 1035, an annual of 2021. Thou Law gives the Genesis Fragment to the Atlanteans. This is causing a war between the U.S. and Atlantis. Amanda Waller sent agents to Atlantis to retrieve the fragment. On the ocean, Superman prevents a war between Atlantis and the U.S. and takes the Genesis fragment. He does not tell anyone but Lois where the fragment is. Mongol sends soldiers after Tha La because she was sent to kill those that are part of Superman, and she fails to do so. Those agents kill two members of Tha La's people. She then tries to fulfill the mission, but Clark stops her. The Justice League kick out Superman because he is losing his powers. Mongol is getting what he wants as Superman is going to Warworld because he's trying to draw him out to get justice for Thou La and her people, who might be Kryptonians related. The annual ties into the House of El future state. Superman creates his authority team to help him. And then there's the Midnighter goes after his originator who developed the computer in his mind. He works with Mr. Miracle to help Superman. It's continued in the Midnighter annual, which I read later. The second backup is Metropolis Guardian story as the entity is stealing children in the crystals, and the Guardian and Jimmy Olsen are sent out to save them. The Superman story is very good, but the Midnighter story kind of meanders, and the conclusion of it wasn't that great, but it is important if you're following Action Comics. Jonathan and Superman, and Superman and the Authority, and Mr. Miracle probably, but I haven't read Mr. Miracle yet. We then have from IDW, I give IDW because this is where it was solicited at, but it's Batman the Max number 5. I gave it a 4 out of 5 as well. Batman and the Max try to stop Mr. Gone, who has taken over the asylum. Most of the fight takes place in the outback. Max finds Julie, and they are together again. Batman manages with the Max to stop the villains from Arkham, from taking over the outback. We have Phantom Stranger Volume 2. There is a Golden Age Phantom Stranger, but this is the Silver Age Phantom Stranger. Some cultists bring back the female entity called Tala, who becomes the villain in this 3-issue arc. The first thing she tries to do is crash his plane that Dr. 13 is on. The Phantom Stranger manages to save everyone on the plane, but Dr. 13 holds him accountable because he's a skeptic. He's like, there's got to be a reason for all this weird supernatural shit, and Phantom Stranger's behind the crash. Tala then haunts a house with 24-something yuppies. These hippies are in every story, which is very interesting over this arc of 3 issues. Tala tries to seduce the Phantom Stranger, but it does not work. Tala's a supernatural being. She tries to say, "Oh, let's have some supernatural sex and knock some boots." And he's like, "I ain't having any of that." They find an old woman trapped in the walls of this house where the teenagers were in, and that the house is wailing. The next story deals with Tala bringing back Earl Winthorpe, who is a rich asshole. He was responsible for demeaning one of the girls, which kills herself. Phantom Stranger tries to save her, but is too late. Then he is trying to seduce Wild Rose. Tala tries to cause a fire at the party, but Phantom Stranger puts it out, and Dr. 13 thinks he is playing tricks. Of course it is! Phantom Stranger's causing the fire! It turns out Earl is the dead body, and the hippies found at the beginning of the story on the beach. The next story is about a poor guy that fell in love with a rich woman and is beheaded by the father. He haunts the family until he could find his head. He didn't look in the most obvious place as the cemetery where he was buried. But then the haunting, because a woman never got her pistachio ice cream and was using the book of spells to cause issues. So her sister was eating all the pistachio ice cream and forcing her to eat vanilla or chocolate, and she decided to get this book of spells and start haunting the house. And Spectre, I'm not Spectre, but Phantom Stranger had to help. That was a 4 out of 5. That should have been a 5 out of 5, but I gave it a 4 out of 5. The next week was 10/18/2021 to 10/24/2021. We're getting through October. This, I think, was when I was on that trip, but I'm not 100. It was might have been right before. But the movies I watched that week were Babysitter Must Die. That was on Amazon Prime. I thought that would be fun, but I gave it a 3 out of 5. It was probably the cheesiest of the bunch. It's about a babysitter who goes to babysit a young girl of a guy that's popular for records. I think he's a musician. Him and his wife and I think son and daughter live there. But she goes to babysit. She's a badass because she's been a Girl Scout leader forever, and she's learned all kinds of forms of kung fu. But a cult group does a home invasion on this house and are going to kill, sacrifice the musician and his family. But the babysitter gets in the way, but who does she save? And there's a lot of death. So, and the little girl might be evil, but that's Babysitter Must Die. The 4 out of 5 is where I Know What You Did Last Summer, the TV show. I have finished watching that. That was really good. That was on Amazon Prime. We finished watching Evil. That was season 2 of Evil. We watched season 1 on Netflix, but since then Paramount Plus has come on, and I think it moved there. And it was direct to streaming only, even though it was CBS originally. And we finished watching the second season. There was a movie called Nocturne. This was the previous year's Blumhouse Amazon Prime. This was about a musician that finds a book. The previous owner of the book was also a musician at a music school, and she was a violin player. And it leads to, like, you're sort of selling your soul as you go along. And this pianist has a sister at that school, but she finds the book, and she's not as good as her sister, but she uses the book to become better than her sister, and it causes all kinds of conflict, and there's death involved. So, Nocturne, really good. The next one was a Netflix one. It was called Night Teeth. This is a vampire flick. If you're a fan of, like, Fright Night and Lost Boys, and books, vampire shows that are near dark, that have like a little bit of campiness to them, a little bit of humor, but they're still horror films, you will check out Night Teeth, because Night Teeth is about a limousine driver that he's not even a limousine driver. His brother's a driver of limousines, and he asks his brother, "I'm bored." He's working towards his college degree. He does papers for other college students to make money on the side, and he's like, his brother comes into town. His brother lost his girlfriend to a vampire, and there's a truce between vampire stalkers and vampires that they're not supposed to do certain things. There's rules. Well, one vampire decides to break all those rules and kidnap the vampire slayer's girl. And his brother gets involved because he's a limo driver, and they're trying to set up his brother, but he says, "Okay, here's the keys. You're gonna just have to pick up these two girls and drive them to a party, blah blah blah." Well, those two girls that he picks up are part of the vampire clan that is trying to take over, and it is really cool. I would recommend it if you're into those types of movies. We read 21 Xenoscope books that week, all digitally on Comixology Unlimited, which was free that 1 month. I read Grim Fairy Tales, Day of the Dead 1 through 6. These were all 4 out of 5s. It's the origin of Talisman and Mystery, spelled Mystere, as they fight the Tarot organization. Really cool story. You can see the world building there, and continuing in other books. We get Grim Tales of Terror, Volume 2, Number 1 and 2. They take on Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and the Mummy, and they're really well told, but they weren't good, as good as season 1, which was the next one. Grim Fairy Tales of Terror, Volume 1, Number 113. Just a great anthology. It's not an anthology as that each issue has multiple stories in it, but it's an sort of like an anthology where each issue has a different story in it. But some of the stories where a woman kills her husband because he becomes infected by an alien virus, unfortunately one she is committed, and she finds others that are after her. There's another story about two adults that lose their father to a spider queen. When he is looking for a statue, when they go find the statue, they're all killed. It's kind of like a Twilight Zone story. Really good stories of terror. If you're into House of Mystery, and it's like if you were to pick one story out of House of Mystery and expand upon it to be a full story, and you like that kind of thing, then this is what you'd like. Ta Grim Fairy Tales of Terror. I think I'm going to do one more. This is October 25th through October 31st, so we're going to finish October. The movies, you could see I've been watching more movies than reading comic books, but still in the horror theme, sort of. I watched, they're all 4 out of 5s. I Spit on Your Grave 3, which was different than, well, actually, it's related to I Spit on Your Grave 1, because it's the same girl being traumatized. From the events of the first one and seeking help with the psychiatrist and finding out that she is vengeful and wants to kill males. So that's I Spit on Your Grave. It's based on like hard, it's based on like hard rape of women and their revenge type stories from those women's perspectives. This one, the woman that's in it is like having a psychological breakdown, though. We have the Evil finale. We actually finished Evil on the Paramount Plus. Can't speak high for a TV show. This is the most terrifying TV show that I have ever experienced. Is from CBS. And I've watched a lot of horror, like you've even heard me talk about horror TV shows. But Evil's amazing. I read Tamara. This is sort of a woman possessed, sort of like Jennifer's Blood type thing. A bunch of people kill this girl or set her up because she's one of those geeks that wants to be part of the popular culture, but they don't want her to be part, and they accidentally kill her. They set her up with a boy that's not really there, and she ends up falling and cracking her head on the table, and then coming back as a vengeful character who she was in love with her professor, and he liked her as a student, but nothing more than that. But she took her obsession of the professor, gets set up to be there because they overhear her talking to the professor, and they set her up, and then she dies, and then she comes back to track down everybody that was involved in that night, even a lot of innocent people that were involved in that night, and also goes after the professor who had nothing to do with it. He basically. She came in real attractive, and he sort of said, "You know, I'm married. I'm trying to have kid with my wife. I don't want any part of that. But I really love you as a student, and I think that you got a writing career ahead of you. Like you're really talented. You should be a journalist." But she doesn't take it that way, and it has a tragic ending. The next 4 out of 5 was Dune, the movie. Really slow but beautifully shot. Not something that I, as a sci-fi guy, likes to look for, but a lot of people that read the books and stuff might love. Little slow pace for me. I love the politics of it. I understand the spice. I like the worms. It's just a little slow for me, but it is thematic. It's grand. Dios, I don't know how to say that word, but you know what I'm talking about. It's bigger than life and filmed and shot really well and ends on a cliffhanger. So, good thing they decided to do the next one. I saw that on HBO Max. I didn't go to the theater for that. That week I read 27 comics, 4 Zenoscope, 1 Titan, 1 Scout, 1 Marvel, 2 Image, 12 Dynamite, 1 DC, 1 Dark Horse, 4 Boom. Start at the bottom. These were all 4 out of 5s. There were no 3 out of 5s, no 5 out of 5s. We'll start at the bottom with Cinderella, Serial Killer Princess 1 through 4 from Zenoscope, the Tarot Organization, which we talked about in the mystery one. Freeze Cindy and sets her on a course to kill all the major good guys in the Zenoscope Realms world. This one felt like if they were doing The Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe or Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe, but in the Zenoscope world, they were using Cinderella to do it. Probably my least favorite of all those other Zenoscope books that I read. We had Batman Urban Legends number one. It has an outsider stories where it looks like Katana and Black Lightning are imprisoned in Rex. And what I mean by Rex is Rex Mortimorfo. It has a Red Hood and Batman are out to take on a drug, but are not on the same side. Batman wants to arrest Red Hood. It has a Harley and Ivy flashback story and a grifter story. So it's an anthology. It's pretty nice. The cardstock is really nice. It's a really put together book. There have been better, but if you want your outsiders and you want to see what Red Hood's up to and you want to continue the grifter type storytelling that you saw in Future State, you should come aboard some Urban Legends. We got Magic number one and two from Boom Studios. It's a good start as someone is attacking the Planeswalker Guild. Also was accessible for me who has never played or read anything about Magic. So I appreciated that. Really, really good art. Sort of like world building in the Dune comic book. Very similar. If I had to choose one, I'd probably choose Dune House of Atreides over this one. But I was entertained quite a bit. I really liked it. We have the House of Lost Horizons number one. If you're a fan of murder mysteries, then you should check this out. This is a murder mystery, and somebody goes over to the island on a boat to solve this murder mystery, and there's more murders to come. So if you're like a fan of Clue and whodunit things, this is from the Mike Mignola universe, but you don't have to have read Hellboy or anything else to read this. But it takes place in that world. We have King Spawn number two, where Spawn stops two Kincaid cult members from a huge massacre at the Capitol. And that's a political tie-in. We have Over the Edge. This was something that I picked up at an antiques mall, like one of those ones where it's like an indoor flea market, but an antique store flea market indoors. It's a Marvel book that I want to complete. These were like the 99-cent books that were coming out if you were like into Avengers Unplugged, Fantastic Four Unplugged, The Untold Tales of Spider-Man. There might have been one more, but this took care of the Punisher, the street level characters, Daredevil. But this was a Daredevil story, really well told, very 90s art, which I love. Foggy is trying to prosecute Claw from Black Panther when he is freed. Daredevil and Black Panther work together to take out Claw and Killmonger. At this time, Matt Murdock is believed to be dead. It was really entertaining. That was number six, Over the Edge. Eat the Rich, a young woman goes over to her fiance to visit a family and finds out the rich are eating the help. Really cool story. Liked it. From Boom Studios. Ma number one, two sisters go to retreat for rape victims. The one that was raped before is raped again at a bar when she was drugged at a bar. That's called Ma, MAW, number one. The Recount. The president is assassinated by one of his secret service agents. An organization proposes they will kill everyone that worked or voted for him. The vice president almost gets killed. She's a female, but is saved by one of her agents. Was entertained by that. That's from Scout. We have Spawn 322. Spawn tortures a vampire who was draining a young girl and a child. So he's getting vengeance. We have from Dynamite, 12 issues of Bionic Man. This is the origin of Steve Austin and how the OSI gets him to work for him and take down one of the experiments gone wrong, Hull. Steve leaves the OSI and goes to visit his mom and dad, and his dad is dying, but he does not want his son to see weakness. Steve saves the girl from a survivalist in the mountains and then has a run-in with Bigfoot, where he is taken apart. And this is the Sasquatch Bigfoot alien entity, robotic entity from the $6 Million Man series, even drawn like him. The last 4 out of 5 is Gun Honey. She infiltrates impossible places and plants guns so her customers can kill people. A government agency wants her to work for them, but she turns them down. So that is all for October. And maybe next time I'll cover November if it's not too much. It looks pretty a lot of writing, so I'll probably do a couple of those, but hopefully do one more before the end of the year, and then we'll start over fresh. I want to thank you for listening. This has been Mike M's Weekly Reads with Mike Myers at Twitter. You can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch. You want to send me some email? You could send it to mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can find this podcast at geekbrunchpodcast.com. And you can follow other episode threads there if you subscribe of Geek Brunch, Geek Brunch Retrocast, Mike M's Weekly Reads, and other podcasts that come out on that feed. You can go to DCNoisePodcast.com, follow me there, where I do DC Spotlight and the DC Everything Else podcast. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you all that take your time to listen to me ramble. This is kind of like my audio diary of comic books and pop culture. So I kind of do it for myself, and I like any listeners that like to listen to it. But I hope you guys all have a healthy and safe Christmas or holiday with your family or with yourself or with friends. I don't know how you celebrate, but I hope you have a happy end of the year and a happy new year. And take care of yourself and be healthy and safe and enjoy your time. I hope you get some time to think about the past year and be grateful for the things that were good to you and try to fix those things that were not in the next coming year. So you all take care and see you in 2 weeks or so. Bye.